It's hard to understand this, but it's not about what you know in life that matters. It's about what you don't know. Not knowing requires an extraordinary amount of faith and trust in the unknown. Knowing is an act of distrust. There is actually a balance that can be had and in a way should be had, because to function in the world, it seems like you have to know stuff. How to walk, how to talk, how to behave, how to live, how to make money, how to raise children, how to co-inhabit with another human being, how to live a life that seems to matter, requires what appears to be knowledge. And we collect that knowledge and we store it and we file it away and we access it and we fill the computer of our brain with endless files of how to know stuff. But interestingly, the real knowledge comes in a way putting that aside, following this unknowable silence inside yourself and watching where it goes, what it discovers, how it enters into the world of the known and makes all of it wondrous and mysterious and incomprehensible, and yet it is witnessed from a place of complete awareness. You don't have to do, know, or manipulate any of it. It will all happen. It is happening all by itself. Your relationship to it is very different than what you think. Yes, you have a body and a personality and a mind and a name and a form, and you were born into this world of materialization, and you are going to be here for a short time, although it may seem to you like a long time. When you get to my age, you realize it was like that. And yes, you have to function in this space. But if the only skill set that you have learned to function in this space comes from your parents, from your teachers, and from books, it will have proven to be inadequate. Because what's coming for you, for us, is the loss of everything you know. And it will feel profoundly unfamiliar to lose stuff if you have been totally fascinated by and addicted to knowing. But if somehow something, some act of grace occurred in your life that allowed you to be aware that not knowing, that stillness, silence, openness to the unknown was a possibility even while you were going through the dance of pretending to know. If you have found that space in your life, there is a beautiful interaction between the known and the unknown, and it is probably the best way to live your life. I've been talking a lot, and probably will, about getting older. I'm reading a book by Donald Hall. He's written two books recently. He's a wonderful poet, was poet laureate of our country, was living in Ann Arbor for a long time, where I first learned about him. And his recent two books, one is on turning 80, and the other was about turning 90. I forget the title. And he just died weeks before he turned 90. But he was really doing this incredible reach into the world of aging that very few people like to look at for a lot of reasons. But he has a title. It might be the title of the second book, it may be the title of a chapter or just a phrase, but he calls aging a carnival of loss. Carnival of loss. And I love the fact that it has a sweetness to it and a playfulness to it. Because if you don't bring that quality to loss, then it's tragic. Then it is immeasurably painful. It's a learned awareness. You learn to accept loss by experiencing it in a way at every moment. Because every moment is a, if you can do it, a letting go of everything that was, a lack of preparation on some level for what's coming, because as much as you prepare, life comes at you from different directions. And it's an entry into the absolute essence of the moment, which is unknowable and yet totally experiential. It fills our field of awareness, and in it, it seems to bring to it everything that ever was and everything that ever will be, and it goes right to here. This is the reality of your being. And if you sit still in this moment of reality, you will see that it opens into something that is alive in its unknowability. It's just there. It's just there. In that space, everything you've known before, everything you think will come, everything even that's around you is in a sense given up. It's lost. You lose it. And you lose it for whatever is about to arrive, if you will, but it's not future tense. It's just a kind of movement of what is. This is the universe in motion. This is the universe still. And they are part and parcel of the same thing. You can feel it inside yourself. When it moves, it does this wondrous thing. And when it's still, it's bigger. This captures your attention. This is your attention. In the end, once you have moved through the field of being, the life of a human being, once you have come to the end of that, you will feel everything leaving you. There are a lot of archetypal ways of greeting that. Mostly it's a sense for many people of betrayal. What was that all about? Why did I spend all those years doing this and doing that in order to get something that never was gotten? Even if you were rewarded for what you did, it's gone away. The house you bought, the paintings you bought, the children you raised, the stories you told, they're all fading away. And you can, if you're an ego entity, being that you're still caught in yourself in the world of being and doing and thinking and wanting and wishing, if you're still caught in all of that is tragically lost. And it's really hard. And I know it's hard because I experience it even after years of spiritual practice. I keep watching stuff fall away and I have this sense of grief. But I have a practice. And my practice brings me into a place of stillness and being in which I go, bye-bye, bye-bye. It's taken me 50 years to do that. I don't say bye-bye without some enormous amount of love and affection for everything that ever manifested, because this manifested state that we live in is so profoundly real and beautiful and touching and affecting. And we want, because we're human and built this way, to hold every ounce of it, even though we know they're going to take it all away. So Rudy taught us this practice of surrender. And he said, ask for help to surrender, because he knew how hard it was to let go. You can't just let go. If we could all just let go, we'd all be enlightened and walking through life in a very different way. And life probably wouldn't cohere in the way it coheres, because we would be letting it go at the same time we were holding on. You can't build a life if you're letting it go exactly all the time. Most people can't. So we have this life of construction and creating and manifesting, and we're made to do that. But if you want a roadmap through this process, it's very simple. Get quiet once a day, several times a day, a second here, a second there, and just go. That exhale lets it all go for that moment. It's a practice. If you can do that for 20 minutes, a half hour, you will get better at it. You will let things go. Because otherwise, the experience will be having it ripped away by forces you will not like, because they will be seen as antagonistic to who you are. They are destroying you. And trust me, that's what's going to happen. You are going to be destroyed, dismantled, deconstructed. And either you are going, or you're going, no! It doesn't matter which way you're doing it, it's going to happen. This really is painful. This is painful, but you go, okay. You watch the pain, you go, okay. You learn how to enter into the center of it. You learn how to breathe through it. You learn how to find your way to that tiny pinpoint of light that has guided you through your life. That tiny pinpoint of consciousness that has always been there in the vast darkness of your life, there's this little tiny thing in you that goes still pointed, brilliant, illuminated light. If you're lucky and you've devoted enough of your time in your life to focusing on that light, it will actually seem to be bigger than you can imagine. If you enter the light, you'll see that it's everywhere. It dispels the darkness. If you have not entered the light, if you've never even looked for the light, you'll spend a lot of time searching. It's never not there, but it's almost microscopic. It's like looking at Venus on a night time. You know, it kind of has to grab you. Looking for the light is something that our meditative life is about. Find the light in yourself. Hold on. Not exactly hold on, because holding on is the wrong metaphor, but it is a kind of enter it, let go to it, free yourself to be one with it, know it. I cannot express how extraordinary it is to be guided by the light, to know the light inside you. To know that it has always been there, that it's not going anywhere. No matter what you do, no matter how painful it gets, no matter how crazy it gets, it's there. The job, if you choose to take it, is find it. Find the light inside yourself and let it do its wonders, because it is the wonder doer of all existence. It is the source, the spark, the brilliance, the illumination of all of this. And it's right at the heart of who and what you are. And it will instruct you in every instant of your life if you will give yourself over to it. It is filled with this essence called love and beauty and truth and reality. And it is always working. It's actually running the show even when you're unconscious of that. And it knows what it's doing. And it will ultimately bring you back to itself. You don't have to meditate. You don't have to have a life of purpose and a life of awareness and consciousness. You can have a normal human life. Mostly, they end with conflict and constriction and confusion, but that gets washed away. A normal human life is filled with goals that are attempted, that are met, that are not met. They're building and constructing and then tearing apart and then losing everything. And that's a human life. And most of us go through it as people, you know, loving and hoping and grieving and living. If you want to have a more conscious journey through it, the meditative, quote-unquote, spiritual path is a way to do that. Is there a benefit? Yeah, there really is. There is a real benefit in finding this thing in yourself. The universe doesn't care. I mean, maybe it does, but mostly the universe is going to draw you back into what it is. I call it the universe, awareness, consciousness, God, pulls you back to yourself. But you can either go back as, or you can go back as like that. And anybody who's seen Michelangelo's paintings of those ascending to heaven and those going to hell, it's really like that. It's kind of your choice. And it will evolve out of how you've lived. And clearly, those of you who've been around the block a few times know there's such a thing as love and beauty and wonder, and there's such a thing as terror, panic, and pain. And they're all part of the whole. They are part of the whole. And it's likely somewhere along the way you will experience all of them. And more than likely, you'll experience a lot of the darker stuff toward the end, where there's nowhere else to go. Your children don't call you anymore. The books you've read are boring. There's movies. Who wants to see another superhero movie? You know, you get to these places in yourself where the world just isn't kind of giving it to you. You might like walking, but I'm telling you, at some point, you get a tear in your IT band and you can't walk so well. So the walking starts to pull back, and all the things that were giving you this joy of being are being pulled away, and it's really hard. It's really painful. And the only thing you can do at that time is to begin this process of going inward, sitting still, and finding who you are. But most people, when they go inward at late in life, go into memory, what was. They go into confusion because everything is starting to break down. And they go into fear. This is the way most lives play out. And the reason to inculcate a meditative life before all that happens is you have what Rudy called the muscle of surrender, the muscle of letting go. And it was and is a muscle that does this. And if you haven't learned to do this, and if all you've learned to do is this, they're gonna pull it apart. And that doesn't feel good. It just doesn't feel good. So I would encourage you to find 5 minutes a day, 10, 20, you don't need to sit 18 hours a day. You just need to find those moments where you go, and let go. And when you do, looking out the window, even if you can't walk anymore, will be beautiful. Staring at the wall and watching shadows move across it. Feeling inside, and feeling is a huge part of the internal experience that we have. Feeling the universe, God's presence opening inside you, this oneness, this awareness that has always been there, but you have been clouded by your dramas and your dreams and your emotions and your all of that stuff. The end game, which is coming for everybody, is really powerful. And what I am learning, because I'm 75, I don't know if the end game is 2 months away or if it's 10, 12, 20, I don't know, years away, but it definitely is not what it was. You know, I'm not the person I was. I'm not the screenwriter that I used to be that, you know, you go to a cocktail party and people look at you like, wow, what are you? You know, I'm a screenwriter. I was. You know, you don't want to be a was. You don't want to be that stuff. Let it go. Let it go. Just show up. Show up. People don't know what to do with that, but in time they'll go, oh, this is a real person. This is someone. You're not your story. You're not your story. You're not your looks, because they're going to all change. You're not what you wished you could have been. You're not how noble or ignoble you are. You're just this. But this, when you let go of everything, is luminous, luminous. And people will look at you and go, and you won't be sitting going, hey, you're looking at me like I'm luminous, because the thing which has that ownership gets in the way of it. That obstructs the luminosity. Let go of that and you are luminous. Trust me. I look at you and I can see very quickly through years of training, through the obstruction, which every one of you throws up, and I just go to the heart of it. And I just go, you know, like a spark on a fire. Wow. And it lights up inside you. And I watch it light up and it burns and consumes a lot of the bullshit. And then you walk away from here a little bit lighter than you were when you walked in. That's a wonderful feeling. Some of you throw the stuff back on the fire and put it out. Some of you keep it burning and glowing. It's not my job to worry about that. But my job is, as a conduit, like a hose, to bring whatever that is, the light, the nourishment, into the moment and feed you. And I am wildly fed by that experience as well. There's a sense of being the nourishment. And I have no clue to how I have become nourishment. And the not knowing of that makes it even more. The minute I think I know, I'm going to sell you a bill of goods that's going to get you in trouble and get me in trouble. I cannot tell you how it works. I only know the less you know, the better. If you think you've got it down, if you think you've got it codified, if you think you've got the truth and you're handing it to people and you're selling it to people, which is worse, and you're trying to own it as a kind of purveyor of truth, what you're selling is lies. Lots of lies, and a lot of people will buy into it, and a lot of people will feel grateful to hear your lies, but in the end, truth comes at the doorway that takes you out of this world, and that can arrive long before you exit. If you want it to, if you want it to. It's completely your game. The universe supports it or doesn't care. If you decide to engage it, if you ask for help, knock on the door, seek to find, ask and it will be given, there you go. Don't ask, don't knock, don't seek, that's fine. Tell me anybody who cares about that, who worries about what you're doing. Who cares? Well, I suspect you do to some degree, but to what degree? How much do you care? You know, one of the things I find about coming here to teach is that it's a little bit like a carnival, and people want to tap in for a minute, get their little thing, and go home. That's fine. It's fine. But what I'm selling, offering, is so much more than that. So much more than just, hey, I sat with Bruce for an hour. Boy, that was great. That was interesting. Said some interesting stuff. Yeah, fine. I'm telling you, what's coming through is more than interesting. It's more than anything you can hold. It's just awareness and simplicity and some form of light that you can take and go carry it out of here. Carry it away from this talk. Carry it away with you where you walk and where you run and where you shop and where you meet with your family, and carry it with you to the movies and when you watch television or read the newspaper. Carry it. Just carry it like a little baby. Carry it. And watch how it impacts the whole day that you live. Watch what this gentle little being does to affect the quality of your daily life. It's so much better than get rid of that. Okay, have that done. Back to whatever's on TV. And I just want to encourage you to honor and respect the exquisite knowing or not knowing that this teaching, that Rudy, that Nityananda, that the Kashmir Shaivist beings, that the people who spent years and years trying to open to this unknowable thing, what they have allowed to channel through into our lives. It is really wonderful. And if you look at lives where it's not being channeled, you can see the difference. You can tell, oh, they don't have a clue. They don't have a clue. They are walking around the world blindly, madly, insanely, trying to get and do and have and all that stuff without any idea of the simple ending in which everything is taken away. Trust me, when you know that, it changes how you go through your life. It changes it. And you can't believe the stuff that's taken away. You don't even know how much you are or have or think you are until they start to dismantle it. Everything that's familiar. What does a leaf look like? Sky, ground, sun, air. It's all going. All going. But it only goes back to the very essence and the very realm from which it came. And you are that realm. You are that. You have always been that. This is the journey from nothing to nothing through this exquisite experience of something. It is an amazing ride, but it ends. It comes to an end. And if you practice letting go, not knowing throughout the whole journey, when it finally is really ending and disintegrating into its true self, you will be open to the process and go, yeah, that's what you'll do. It's not easy, and it takes practice, and it takes will, and it takes effort, and it takes devotion to do it well. You can't just tap into it for a minute and tap out. You have to live it to really do it well. Most people don't, and the universe seems fine with that. But if you want to do it well, do it. Do it. Practice it. Remember during the day, surrender to it. Let it happen. Be one with who you are. Let the gratitude flow forth. Say thank you as often as you can. Hug people. Feel compassion for those who are so lost in the miasma of this creation. Touch people. Affect them. Care about them. Love them. Give to them. The stuff that's getting taken away from you, hand it on. Give it away. You don't need it. It's all going to go, and you're going to disappear into the very amazing, unknowable reality from which you came. It's an exquisite journey. Do it with love and consciousness, and find the gratitude that somebody is talking to you about this, because not everybody hears this message. Questions.
How do you use this practice to quiet through the mind? How do I use it to do that?
Just stopping and sitting still. Take a breath. That's all you do. I mean, rigorous practice is good. I spend a lifetime sitting every morning and doing this practice. And it grounded me. It gave me a day. It helped me have the weather report for the cosmological stuff that was coming at me. So I was ready for whatever arose. It's a practice. You know, at some point you'll just wake up to it and you don't have to sit every day, you just breathe it all the time. That's an exquisite state to arrive at, but it's not an ending, it's just another, instead of practicing once or twice a day, you're living it. You just live it. And that's what you do. But the mind is very aggressive and it's very active. and it will come at you. And until you learn how to enter stillness, you'll be a victim of the mind, which is very loud. It's blaring at you. So how do you get out of that? Sit still while the mind is blaring and just go, please help me to surrender. Take a breath. Let it go. And you will feel this peacefulness inside. The door open. The entry into something that removes you from the noise. It's your protected space, your sanctuary. It's yours, and every human being has it. The easiest doorway to it is through your heart, through the center of your chest. Go there. Hello, hello, can I come in? Just take a breath and ask for help to enter. And the door opens, and something reaches. Come on in. And then if you start going, well, what really just happened there? Why did I, what did that really happen? Did that not happen? I don't know if I believe this. I should read some books about this. This is so strange. There you go, back into the human dilemma. That's what people do. They go, oh, I don't understand that. That's really complicated. What is that about? That's a madness. But that is how almost every human being I know lives. That is how we live. In a place of continual madness, trying to know, grasp, understand the codification of this process, which completely obliterates when you just go inside and you know the truth of it, which cannot be formulated into anything other than shh. You know, we live together, so we have to deal with this very directly. I have this thing that I forget things that happened. Blanche remembers things that never happened. And it's really strange, and we can't prove it on either end. So we have this dialogue that goes on endlessly about what really happened. All I know is that when two people are getting old and losing their mind at the same time, this thing gets magnified, and it's often the way that it happens. And I can only tell you that for much of the day, Blanche and I are just normal human beings dealing with the bullshit of the world and the confusions of the world. And you know, and there are annoyances and difficulties. And if any of you are looking at me or looking at maybe at Rudy or anybody and thinking, oh, they're perfect people, you've got it wrong on every level. There is no perfect anything. There are just people working and doing it. And the thing that Blanche and I do, and the thing I recommend to you as well as myself, is we have to just have the passion and the compassion to support each other through what is a very difficult process. We can't do anything about the mind loss. It's going to happen. But we can hold each other's hands while we're losing it and look at each other's eyes and hug each other and go, oof. And we do try to laugh at it. You better than me, actually. I suffer it more than you do. But I really do understand that it's a process that needs to be worked. And the work is what I'm trying to express here. You can't just let it happen. There's a part of you that has to be conscious or aware of observing the carnival of the loss. And it's like, you do laugh at it beautifully. You really do. And in a way, you're teaching me how to do that. And together, one of the reasons we all get born and come into a world is because the other is us, and the other teaches us. And to get married to a person allows your best teacher to be your partner. And I have attracted a best teacher. And this is really, it's a hard journey losing together and figuring out how to do the next steps. But the other helps. A class of people helps. The idea that we can all go to each other and go, wow, this is really something else. And everybody goes, yep. And we talk and we share and we allow each other to have this experience of transformation from being one thing into being actually nothing. So I just think you and I have to keep at what we're doing. You know, I mean, I come here to sit. Blanche watches me come here in the morning. And I'm going, I don't want to come to this. I don't want to teach. I don't want to be here. I would rather be somewhere else. I don't like Big Indian. I mean, I have this whole litany of things that goes
resistance.
On. What?
It's called resistance.
Yeah, it's called resistance. And then I sit down and I take a breath and it opens in a way that I find indescribable on every level. It has an articulation that is really beyond anything Bruce would ever know. And it just pours through and I get to be the witness to the conduit for the doer of something that is not yet done, and I get to allow this energy to pass through into the world because I have given 50 years of time to doing it. It's saying, okay, get out of the way, we'll use you. And that's really what it is. So I don't walk around, I don't leave here saying, hey, I'm whatever people say, I don't know what they say, I'm enlightened, I have, you know, the truth in me. No, it's nothing like that. I'm a person. I'm a person who has learned to let go, who's had a lot of the Bruce part of him blown away, who feels now the universe in such intimate and emotional terms that it's almost unbearable. And yet, I know that everything I am, everything I have held on to, everything I believe in is wafting away. And in its wafting away, I am being freed, liberated, and I am realizing day by day the massiveness in which this little Bruce guy has lived his life. And the Blanche and Bruce have lived together. It's incredible, incredible journey. Don't pretend it's something other than what it is. It's just human life. It's just human life. We're all going through it. You can just go through it awake or asleep. I guess that's the difference. Your choice. And it really is your choice. Awake or asleep. How do you want to do it? It's an exquisite journey. Exquisite. But it doesn't confer upon you anointedness or a magical quality. You just become who you've always been. The more you let go of you, the person you think you are, the more that's there shows itself. Get rid of the surrounding and the light shines. It just does. George.
Why does letting go hurt so much?
Because you just used the word before, resistance. It's just we resist it. The ego wants so much to be. I mean, we're not only trained, we are biologically programmed to have an ego. That's how the world works.
Yeah.
Yeah. So here we are. We're all this ego thing that is trying to get out of the ego trap in a way, and then realizing that the ego is not your enemy. It's not a bad thing. It is a collective programming that you can look at as program, and just go oh, and it's really interesting.
Well, you have to learn how to get out of it.
The idea, first of all, you have to learn not to try to get somewhere because there's nowhere to get to. The getting, in real spiritual terms, is to get to where you are, which is the reality, because you never get there, whatever there is. You can only get here or realize you are here. But this thing that happens inside us is that the still pointed entry point right here is egoless. It does not partake of the ego. It welcomes the mind and the ego, if you will, in on some level, and it calms them down. Like when I had my massage yesterday, or 2 days ago, it was like, just give yourself over to it. It takes you in And it just relaxes all that stuff. And it just allows it to just be. And once you find how comfortable it is to just be, you don't have to go back out and be something. You can just be. Just be. And you go into the world again, and it's wonderful. And I know, you know, we've known each other a long time, George. I mean, you and Cheryl introduced me to Blanche. So, I mean, this goes back. I've watched the journey for you and for me, and I know how hard it has been. I know the difficulties, and I know you and I and Cheryl and Blanche are watching this thing I've been talking about today happen. You know, it's really happening. You know.
Dissolution.
Yeah, dissolution. Are we either going to do it gracefully or not? Do they care? No.
Some days I do it gracefully and some days not.
Exactly, exactly, exactly. But the more graceful, the nicer it may feel. That's all I can say. You know, and we don't need to do anything, but it's better that way, I think, than not that way, based on having watched people go through this gracefully and not gracefully. So, you know, ask for grace. Okay, you're all bored to death. This is, you know. We've said this a lot. We talk about this all a lot. If we keep teaching this class, which I question a lot, but if we do teach it, it's only going to be more of the same. That's all I can tell you. And I thank you all for coming.